From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
Developing overnight, a tram accident at Universal Studios in Hollywood injures more than a dozen people. What we know so far about the moments before the crash. After years of waiting, a legendary San Francisco gay bar welcomes customers to its new location.
All men.
All men.
All women.
All women.
And all the rest of us.
Plus, 420 celebrations in San Francisco go back to their roots after the city canceled the official event at Golden Gate Park. And how Oakland's newest baseball team is sprucing up its future home in a neglected neighborhood.
Just looking at all of the people who have committed a beautiful Saturday to coming out and cleaning up this park is pretty incredible.
Good morning. It's Sunday, April 21st. I'm Sean Chitness in for Max Serra. We start this morning with a developing story in Southern California. At least 15 people have been injured in a tram accident at the Universal Studios theme park. Officials responded to the scene around 9 last night. According to the LA County Sheriff's Office, there was a mechanical failure involving one of the cars while traveling down a hill. Early reports say it may have been a brake issue. The victim suffered minor injuries. The sheriff's office is still investigating. Universal Studios said in a statement it's working to understand what happened leading up to the accident.
Good morning. Forecast for mostly clear skies today, including at the shoreline, as high pressure begins to build in. And as the high pressure builds in, the numbers are going to be coming up just that much. Over yesterday's highs, we'll be in the low to mid 80s in the warmest spots inland today. And then as we get close to the weekend, it looks like we've got a chance of light showers actually moving into the Bay Area, but that's not until Friday. In the meantime, sunshine and plenty of it. So go out and have a great Sunday. We'll have more weather later, but first, let's get the news.
One of San Francisco's oldest LGBTQ plus bars welcomed patrons back last night for the first time in years. The Stud first opened its doors back in 1966 in the South of Market neighborhood, known for its themed parties, including drag and burlesque shows, as well as community events. It moved down the street in 1987 to 9th and Harrison, where it stood until May 2020, when it was forced to close because of the pandemic. That was until last night, though, when the bar reopened at its latest location. Amanda Hari was there and has a preview of what comes next.
Welcome to the Stud!
A moment 4 years in the making. LGBTQ bar The Stud reopening at a new location in the SoMa.
All men.
All men.
All women.
All women.
And all the rest of us.
And all the rest of us.
The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence blessing 1123 Folsom before the first patrons walked inside. John Geluso was the first person in line. He says he's been supporting the Stud for years.
It's been a great party, a good time, lots of good people, and it's been fun every time.
This is so f***ing wonderful.
Nate Albee is one of the co-owners of the Stud. He says the collective ownership group decided to close early in the pandemic.
If we had tried to stick it out, we would have ended up with like a lot of small businesses in debt.
There you go, have fun. Thank you for waiting with me.
He says over the last 4 years, they've been hosting events and selling t-shirts, all in hopes of collecting enough money to reopen a new location. Yeah. Finally, they bought this space that used to be a sports bar.
There's a commercial kitchen back here that we need to remove. There's no need to have food in the Stud.
They'll eventually transform the area that used to be a kitchen into a stage.
We still have to raise some more money. Essentially a nonprofit. We make no money off of the bar at all. Anything we make goes directly back into the bar. And so we have been really reliant on the community to help us when we need them, and they've come through. So we're very close to hitting our goal and raising that final $75,000 that we need to build our stage and bring drag back to
the
Stud.
Once the stage is built, they'll host both drag shows and create a drag school. The bar has been in existence for nearly 60 years at different locations in San Francisco. Supervisor Aaron Peskin was at the reopening to support the legacy business.
The Stud is synonymous with San Francisco. I mean, this is one of the great institutions.
And Albee says SF is part of what makes the Stud great, and he's happy to see the business reopen on Folsom Street.
We don't believe the narrative that San Francisco is over, that there's a doom loop. You know, San Francisco is one of the great cities of the world. She is not going anywhere.
This space is double the size of Stud's old location, so they say they're excited to have more people coming and visiting.
Thousands of people came out to enjoy Saturday's beautiful weather on 420. These were the scenes yesterday at Dolores Park. That's where we saw the biggest crowds after the city announced it was canceling its official 420 celebration at Hippie Hill in Golden Gate Park. Now, there were still plenty of people out there on Hippie Hill for an unofficial gathering, but the crowds were much smaller than usual. Dalin was there.
Peace, love, and a lot of weed on Hippie Hill.
Freedom. Beautiful.
Just one love, everybody.
Young and old, they started showing up early Saturday afternoon. No one really knew what to expect this year since organizers didn't have the money and canceled the yearly celebration.
We like it organic.
That's what a lot of people said. They like the non-structured environment. No fencing, no gates, and no large corporations.
They much prefer the organic feel to the commercialization that's been on the last few years.
Debbie Harms and her friend Shanna LeBlanc visit Hippie Hill on 420 every year from Utah for the last 15 years.
We stumbled upon it one year and we had so much fun. We said, let's do that every year.
They say not having an official event brings them back to how they used to celebrate cannabis. It's more of a community atmosphere.
Everybody seems happy, the drum circle's going, people are dancing. Just people gathering, not regulated, not ruled to death.
But they admit there needs to be a balance.
We don't want it to get too crazy and like shootings, and that's happened. We've seen some fights down here that aren't that good.
Previous 420 festivals drew thousands and thousands of people. There would be live music and dozens of vendors. But without an official event this year, the city partnered with Volo Sports to offer free sporting activities at Robin Williams Meadow. Cannabis lovers are encouraged to take part. Some believe it's a way of crowd control by activating the space.
Pick up soccer, but we've got cornhole here on the west lawn. We've got some bocce in the back corner. We've got some spike ball. So we've got all kinds of fun stuff. So if people want to get on the hill, do their thing, and then come down and hang out with us, we're all for it.
The city assigned officers and medics to keep people safe. Volunteers also hand out free water. And it's not all pot smokers hanging out on Hippie Hill. Some people tell me they don't smoke at all. And then there's this family, three generations, just enjoying a lively day in San Francisco.
We always come here with him anyway, so it's just a normal weekend for us with a little extra, and they're in town from Alaska visiting the grandparents.
No festival, no problem. Debbie and Shanna like how it's turning out, and they'll be back next year.
It's a really nice, good vibe, like the old days.
As of late Saturday afternoon, authorities say no reports of injuries or arrests.
Oakland's newest baseball team and dozens of volunteers celebrated Earth Day by helping to get Raimondi Park ready for opening day. They spent the day picking up trash and giving the field a good power wash. Our John Ramos has more.
This Earth Day project in Oakland was about more than just cleaning up a city park. It was about starting something new.
A group of two dozen volunteers gathered at Raimondi Park in West Oakland to collect trash, power wash playground equipment, and even add some splashes of new color. The park had gotten pretty run down over the years, but it's seeing a lot of changes lately, thanks largely to the many new housing developments that are popping up in the area.
Yeah, there is definitely a number of residents here who've come and are excited to really just help take care of a spot that's been a little neglected for many years.
But the single biggest change is happening right now. A brand new baseball field is being laid out, soon to be the home of the Oakland Ballers, a new independent league team created as a response to the departure of the A's. Laura Geist, the team's chief of staff, hopes the Ballers' $1.5 million investment in the park will help revitalize the entire neighborhood.
Being able to do something for the community, by the community, is critical. For me as a person, and I think for us as an organization. And so just looking at all of the people who have committed a beautiful Saturday to coming out and cleaning up this park is pretty incredible.
Even before they play a game, the team has a built-in fan base from the surrounding housing complexes. Many of the cleanup volunteers came from the apartments right across the street from the park.
I think we're all fans already. Everyone's excited for, you know, the first game coming up. I think in June, right, is the first one, and we're excited to see the progress of the park get built slowly and surely, and we'll all be out here supporting.
I mean, we're super excited to see the transformation happening. I mean, I want to say so quickly, but it's been a lot of work and a long time coming.
It was pretty deserted, like not a lot of population here. And now we were seeing a lot of more families enjoying the park, which is fantastic.
We're going to make it something that Oakland, especially West Oakland, deserves, because for too long we've been divested from, and this is going to be something that everybody can really benefit from.
But one man who lives in the area says while they may welcome the new ballpark, some people are leery about how all the new investment will affect the neighborhood, especially Black residents who have lived there for a long time.
Anytime you do something new, it's always people in the neighborhood is who lived here for a long time. It's scary. You know, we're going to take over your home or your property because we got a project coming in. And so the project is what you see behind you. And the people who were there, I don't know, are they on the street or they moved to a different area?
It's always been the dilemma for Oakland, how to bring in something new without pushing out what was already there. In this case, the changes represent a new direction, a new focus for Oakland baseball fans who know exactly what it feels like to be pushed away.
The team's cleanup efforts comes days after Oakland City Council agreed to invest $1.6 million into renovations at the park. In the South Bay, 20 new ballots found in the District 16 congressional race could potentially break the tie for second place. Candidates Evan Lowe and Joe Simidian have earned about 30,000 votes each, and it looked like they were both heading toward a three-way runoff election with the leader in the race, Sam Liccardo. But now, one of Liccardo's former staff members is calling for the district to look at 20 ballots that were, quote, improperly excluded from the count. The county's registrar says they're reviewing them, but it's too soon to tell if they'll be able to add them to the final count. A 22-year-old UC Berkeley student, Cecilia Luna Parra, has won a seat on Berkeley City Council, making her the first undergraduate to fill the role. She received about 60% of the vote, defeating her opponent, James Chung, for the seat by 93 votes. In a statement on her X account, the newly elected city councilwoman said, quote, "Our movement for progress, representation, and committed community leadership has prevailed."